Welcome to the Sneaker Podcast, a show where a bunch of guys sit around a table to talk life, lifestyle, music, and all things sneakers. So sit back, turn it up, and let's go.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Sneaker Podcast. This is episode 8, season 2. I'm Mike D, alongside my boy, Christopher Chu. What up, Chris?
Yo, what's going down?
You good?
Always good.
Awesome. Beside Chris, we got Alex, Mr. Suji Cypherson's himself.
Hey, what up, dude? Hey, guys, it's your boy. What up?
And on the phone, live from Florida, from his condo in Florida, our boy, Chlorel. What up, Chlo?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Yo, we miss you already.
I miss you guys, too.
I'm sure you're having a blast over there, though.
Yeah.
I am, but my game is not going so well. But it's okay. I'll turn it around tomorrow.
Ah. So it's going. You're just hitting the links, or what? What's going on down there?
I think I'm just more overwhelmed with the difficulty, and I'm just not focusing on just playing simple.
Ah.
What are you playing in?
What am I playing in?
Yeah.
I'm playing in Adidas Boost.
Hey.
Yeah.
Back to Boost.
I decided to wear some Boost, and they're comfortable as hell, but my game, it's not helping my game.
You're too relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, you're too relaxed. Okay. Well, before we get into the podcast, let's go into what we always do, what we wore today. Chlo, let's start with you.
I wore some Air Max 95 Greedies today.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
Some Adidas Boost golf shoes.
Those golf shoes.
And now I just slipped into some Flyknits because I want to rip off the socks.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah.
So is that your whole Florida rotation, or
it
you
is.
Got some more
that
stuff
is.
In there?
Oh, I got some sandals, but those don't count.
They're not to mentioned.
Like flip-flops or like mandals?
Yeah, I bought some flip-flops.
No, flip-flops. With straps.
You know what I noticed in Florida? So
everyone
I went to Walmart
sandals?
Every single day to get groceries, and I always see at least a dozen people wearing Jordan sandals, Adidas sandals, Gucci sandals, you name it, but they're wearing socks. Like that's the thing.
Flip-flops. Slides?
Yeah, flip-flops.
Yeah.
Slides.
Yeah, I used to do that.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And I'm just like, man, these guys are getting sock tans, man.
Sock like tans.
It's, yeah,
I do it at the
it's
crib,
crazy.
But I don't know.
Yeah, in
no,
the crib, I do it all the time. But
I used to do
man,
it for,
out at a Walmart? It's
yeah,
pretty
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. I used to do it like before and after playing ball. That was the thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Chris, what'd you wear on feet today?
I wore some Air Max 90 Tiger Camo Atmos.
Okay.
And then because tonight we're potting from the Adidas store.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
I'm wearing my Cyan Palace Boost.
Ooh.
Pro.
Nice.
Bang.
I love that color.
Yeah.
The colorway is so nice.
The snow's like, it's cold right now, but the snow.
There's snow over there? It didn't melt yet?
It's very light snow, but it's really cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Seriously? It's like 30 over here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we appreciate
no problem,
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex, what you wear on feet today?
I'm wearing a pair of Superstars BNY, ooh, the gray colorway with the blue stripes that we picked up for super cheap. Mr. Christopher Chu assisted me on that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really like loving it. These.
I like it. I like
and
that.
You, Mike?
I start off the day in a pair of Yeezy V2s,
mm-hmm,
and then I switched out to a pair of NMD R2s in the Trace Cargo colorway.
With the nice lace swap.
Yeah, a little lace swap on there. Just some 3M rope laces.
Really cool.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah. I'm loving it. They're great.
So, again, like Chris mentioned, we're recording from the Adidas store.
Adidas Originals.
Adidas, sorry. We needed another venue because we got kicked out the house.
Yeah, I know. Okay, the wife had something going on.
It's cool.
To compromise.
No, but it's been so long that we haven't recorded at the store.
When's the last time we were here?
Cherry?
Cherry?
Cherry's episode?
No, the off-air.
No, it was
off-air.
Yeah.
Off-air.
Yeah.
Okay, off-air.
Does that count? Well,
yeah. It does count.
It feels good to be back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Shout out to Leah's podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls on Games.
The Girls on Games.
Always busy.
Always busy, always hustling, hustling, yeah. hustling. All right, so maybe we could talk about some stuff that's happened.
Holy
I know.
Holy shit.
Close freaking out.
Sorry,
a little
guys.
Bit.
Sorry. No, I think there's a fight going on in the condo.
Oh, nice.
Oh, holy shit. The old... They're going down, man.
Get in
okay,
there,
no,
man.
I see some laughing. Holy cow.
Okay,
like,
okay.
They're, oh, they're all so drunk. Funny. I'm like, holy shit. Sorry, guys.
I got to travel with Chloe. Got to travel with him.
Just, okay. Close in Florida. You could have brought anything with you to wear because the weather's good there, right? Us, we're just
yeah.
It's I think we're out of slush country.
Yeah,
I think there's no more slush going on for the next couple of days. That's why I was okay wearing like suede because I wore
yeah same.
I have a pair of Carhu.
Yeah,
and I wore them in the snow and it like soaked up a lot of the moisture.
Oh,
I felt bad. Like, I was like, dang, I should be taking better care of these. And I felt like I had to stuff the shoe after while it dried, or else there would be like that crinkle going on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's smart. Okay. They'll look better.
Yeah. They'll look worn in.
They'll give some character.
Yeah. But it looks like a, I don't know if people know what the Carhu looks like. It looks like a hiking shoe.
Yeah, kind of.
It's really
right?
dope.
The materials look it's like really it's a hiking shoe. So
super dope.
Hiking gone runner.
Yeah, exactly. In case you encounter a bear, you gotta get out of there.
So, Chloe, we know that Florida is like it's the mecca of deal hunting and outlet
shit,
shopping.
Guys. You
anything good?
So, there's Nike outlets at every freaking corner.
Okay, which city are you in?
I'm in Kissimmee right now.
Okay. Oh,
and really today I drove out maybe about half an hour away, and I think I saw about 6 other Nike outlets on the way to the golf course.
Yeah.
I went on Tuesday to a Nike clearance store on in Kissimmee on the Bronson Memorial Highway. And we were a bit in a rush because we had a tee time locked in and we needed to hit a dollar store. And it just so happens the Nike he was right beside it. So we roll into the parking and I tell the guys, I'm going to run into the Nike. As soon as we pull in, there's a fucking lineup at the Nike.
Oh.
So I'm like, what the hell's going on? Why is there a lineup? So I jump out of the car. They didn't even park it. I go line up and I'm just like, what are they releasing on a fucking Tuesday? What the hell's going on? And then I hear some guys talking about IDs, this and that. So I inquired and they're like, oh, no, if you want to go shop, just go in through the door. We're lined up for IDs. So in my mind, they ordered IDs and they're just going to pick them up or something like that.
Wow.
I go in and I see a whole shelf and it's like what's it called? Chained off and everything. It's for the people that are doing the line. It's a bunch of IDs which people never picked up or paid for or whatnot.
That's
so
cool.
They're all one of ones and you got everything you could think of. There's even Converse on that shelf.
Wow,
nice.
And there's two prices for the high-end stuff like Jordans, Kyries, LeBrons. They're $59.99.
Wow.
Damn.
$59.99 for one of ones that people have designed, put their names on it, you name it, whatever. And everything else, the 95s, the 90s, the Air Max 1s, or whatever, the Lunars, they're all
$39.99. Whoa, jeez.
Yeah. So I went in and I just watched these people. They were running in and they're just grabbing stuff as they can. They have five minutes or maybe a bit more to just grab whatever they want and go.
That's so sick. It's like Black Friday.
Person. Yeah, I didn't see one single person try on a pair of shoes.
All for no joke. Price.
Yeah, and the lineup, the people in the lineup, I might have seen maybe 3 guys that looked like sneakerheads. Everybody else was just people on vacation or people looking for deals. That was it.
Did you want it to grab one? Like, have you seen any?
I scanned everything. I could tell that majority of the shoes were bigger than my size. And no, there wasn't really anything. I guess people don't know how to design shit. I don't know. I wasn't really feeling anything. I saw one pair of 95s with some grape and some green on it. but it was like a size 5 or something for women. Yeah, but I thought that thing was that whole thing was really, really cool.
It's so unusual.
And based on what the guy told me, they do it every Tuesday.
What?
Every Tuesday, and that's the only Nike that does it, according to what the guy told me. Huh. And supposedly the people were lined up even before the store opened. And when I showed up, it was around 10:30, and they had 2 more boxes to unload. They just, like, as soon as there's a bit of space, they just grab the next box, cut it open, take it, and throw it on. And it's not boxes. It's all stuff with tie wraps. Nice. It's just 2 pairs of shoes, tie wrapped, and thrown onto the shelf. And that was it.
That's kind of cool.
People weren't shopping in the other stuff. The whole store, no one was walking around buying anything. Everybody was, boom, on that shelf or lining up to get on that shelf.
Wow. So did you scoop up anything else?
No, there was nothing worthy. There was nothing worthy at all.
No, nothing on the shelf.
No, the prices weren't slamming, but for sure at $39.99 you can't go wrong. For a one of one, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or $59.99 you can't go wrong.
Still good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you?
Hopefully, I'll be able to go to other Nikes, maybe tomorrow or the day after.
What about Adidas?
What about Adidas?
I haven't seen any Adidas outlets.
Well, Orlando outlets, man.
I think
Vineland Avenue. There's like 2 of them.
Yeah, I'll Google it. I'll see what the distance is. I'll see if it's on the way to the golf course.
In Orlando, it's not far.
You should just dip into Disney, man.
Yeah.
Go into the Disney.
Harry Potter world.
No, it's too crazy. Way too crazy. So many tourists out here.
Wow. Wow.
There's so many people. It's unbelievable. Like the Walmart, I can't get over how crazy Walmart is.
Oh my gosh.
They're constantly just restocking, and there's so much shit. It's unbelievable.
Dear Florida.
There's so many flavors. It's of Gatorade. Oh man, I was losing it. Chips. You know what? You know, back home, there's like maybe about, like when we have an aisle in a supermarket, we have like half of it is chips of the aisle. Over there, it's a full aisle on both sides.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Are the Walmarts down there open 24/7?
The one that's close to our condo, 24/7. And I went at 11 o'clock, and it was bananas.
Wow.
It was the place to be. It was crazy, man. I saw kids in there.
Yo, you want to go hang out
kids.
At Walmart?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Some people were really hanging out and talking and everything. I was like, what's going on? It's lit over here.
It's lit. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you're having a good time.
So when you get back to Montreal, I think the weather's going to warm up a little from what we're experiencing right now. So the shock from Florida weather to Montreal won't be that great.
I hope it warms up.
Yeah.
I FaceTimed my kids this morning and my wife, and they were all bundled up, man.
Yeah. I think it'll be better by the time you get back.
Yeah.
And then it starts. Like I feel the vibe that people are ready to like shed a bit of clothing and actually get out their spring wear and stuff. Because I saw guys walking around in t-shirts, even though it's like unjustified.
Ugh.
But I think that got me thinking about like, okay, let's start to move some boxes back into the closet and then bring some other boxes back out.
Yeah, so I can't wait to break some shit out.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
What do you think is going to be like your spring what's your spring rotation going to look like?
I think I'm going to break out the shoes you're wearing today. I can't wait to break those out. What else is there that's been sitting? A bunch of suedes. A lot of Air Max 1s I want to break out. I can't wait to break out all the boosts. All the Ultras again.
Ultras, yeah. I brought out all my Ultra boxes.
Nice.
I don't know.
And I'll probably wear some more Yeezys.
Yeezys, okay. That's good. Yeah. So I get an idea of what your spring... Your spring's going to be runner heavy.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's sick. Big time.
I think I got some. I got to all the shoes that have some suede on them. I'm bringing them out. Like I still didn't wear that black Palace Boost that I got from Calbee because I only have that one pair. So I need to make sure that it lasts. So I'm taking extra care of it. And I think I'm. I also, like you mentioned, Ultra Boosts, my Flyknit racers. During the holidays and everything, I think I picked up 2 to 3 new Flyknit racers. Ooh. So that's going to get into the rotation. And even that 9317 EQT.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I can't wait. Oh, my fucking God. I forgot about that pair. Yeah, holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a summer banger, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because, one, because of the price, and two, because of the materials involved, a little extra care is warranted.
I can't wait. I hear the comfort is crazy on those.
Stupid crazy.
We could ask Alex.
Yeah. No, it's stupid crazy. Yeah.
Alex, you got what? Two per.
Two of them.
Two per.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And EQTs.
Soon three, right?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Soon you'll have three.
Nope. I'm not doing the white one.
No.
What?
No.
Kamasa, how come?
Because I grabbed up some better stuff.
Oh, maybe we can. Do you want to talk about new pickups?
Stuff. Yeah, I want to hear about this.
I finally picked up my City Sox White Mountaineering.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Finally.
Congrats, man.
Below retail, gang.
Oh.
Yeah, man. And also the new NMD R2 from White Mountaineering as well.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You're a monster.
Yeah, man.
Going ham.
So, yeah, going really crazy, but it's hopefully closing a big chapter of purchasing sneakers for a while.
But that's like...
That's like major fire.
It had to be done.
Yeah.
It's big purchases. It's big additions to your collection.
Yeah.
But it had to be done.
Yeah.
Because you're like the white... That's your thing. White mountaineering's your thing, right?
Yeah.
And you got them all...
Today. if my mom knew about this, she would kill me, man.
You're a baller, man.
Thanks,
baller.
Bro.
But like, so the City Sock.
City Sock is like this. It's a baby unicorn. Like,
well, you've been searching it for how
long? A long
time.
A while.
Like, since Anna got her back.
Yeah.
Because she's like throwing it in your face.
She's like, they're so good, Alex. They're so you.
Like, shut up to Anna.
Yeah. And that NMD, man, I was not expecting to love it that much. But
beauty shots of that shoe.
Yeah. And it makes a really good like looking foot. But so I got some really heavy players, so I don't have to scoop up any of the releases from this weekend. So
And the funny thing with the City Sock is, yeah, I know you were looking for it. We had seen one guy post them up for a specific amount. And we try to negotiate a bit with him, and he wouldn't go down a bit. And eventually, I was just looking through the groups, and there's this guy named Corey from Toronto. I'm sure a lot of people know him. He's like I think he's a big name, and he's a good dude. He had like a Google spreadsheet of all the shoes that he's selling, and I just clicked in it, but I saw it was all like size 11, 11.5. I was like, oh, there's nothing there for me because I'm like size 10, size 9.5. And I scrolled down to the bottom. He had like a couple of pairs that are like size 10. And I saw, it said Adidas White Mountaineering size 10 for DS. And I was like, he didn't specify what shoe, no. Right? He just said White Mountaineering. And I was like,
how good was this deal?
It was good.
So good.
It was like retail.
Literally retail, even with shipping and taxes.
Yeah. So then I messaged, which City Sock is this? And he's like, oh, no, sorry. I said, which White Mountaineering is this? And he's like, the City Sock.
I'm like, boom. And
I screenshot everything and I send it to Alex. I go, yo. And it took him a while to read it, I think. And then when he finally read, he's like, whoa. And then... I started talking to him. I go, yo, would you ship? Because he's in Toronto. I go, would you ship to Montreal? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah. And we worked out the deal. And this was over the weekend. So he was shipping out Monday. And from Toronto, usually takes one day shipping.
Yeah.
Through Canada Post. It actually scheduled delivery for today, which is Wednesday, which is the actual day that you... got the NMD.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whoa, this is so perfect.
Yeah.
And I get home and the shoebox is in my lockbox. Open it up and I'm excited for Alex. I cut it open. I start sending him pictures of it, and he's like, yo, isn't it supposed to be size 10?
First thing I noticed.
Yeah.
First thing I noticed.
He's like, isn't it supposed to be size 10? I'm like, huh? It's not? And I look at the picture I sent him, and it says size 10 and a half. But the half is like smaller, right? So I couldn't see it. I was like, oh, shit. And I can sense the panic in his text. and I was like, okay, well, the guy is like, he's like a legit dude, so it wouldn't be an issue regardless. But I think it was panic more in the way of disappointment than being afraid of.
Because Anna told me that they run hella tight.
Yeah.
And then during one of the Yeezy raffles, a guy walked in with a pair that he was obviously wearing a lot. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually hunting for those. What's your size? Oh, I'm like a size 10. Cool, can I try them on real quick? And the guy was like, oh, yeah, sure, go for it. Tried on the size 10. Size 10 was perfect. So, you know, like when you're hunting for a shoe online, especially Adidas, you don't know what's the freaking sizing going to be like. I had the chance to try it on, so I was definitely sure I was a size 10. But then I was like, well, nits. Like, I know that all the other CD socks, I'm a 10.5. I don't own one, so anyway. So then I was like, okay, let me give it a try, and then we'll see. We'll go from there. So and it fits.
I brought it to him tonight during the podcast, and like I think the 10 seconds before he put his foot on, Alex slowed down and prepped himself in case it didn't fit.
Yeah, it would have been so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But it fit perfect. Like, your toe has perfect amount of space.
Man, I'm so happy for you. I can't wait to see those video shots, man.
Yeah, man.
They're really sick.
So, yeah, two new pairs of white mountaineering
to add to the
with
collection.
With Boost shoot during the spring. Do you have anything else you want to rock in the spring? Like, right now?
I have a PK white, all triple white PK NMD that I acquired a couple of weeks ago. And really want to wear those. I also want to wear the Tan Alpha Bounce.
Yeah. Yes.
But, okay.
Yeah. It is in rotation already.
Yeah.
But, like, it needs to go outside more.
Yeah.
Like, inside, like, when I'm at the store, it doesn't count.
And it's something you can rock all year round.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, since I'm wearing like superstars and like flat shoes, classic shoes, I want to dig in my boxes and see like if I have some like cool flat runner, casuals. Cause like the whole like Spezial vibe, Spezial is a modern take on retro sneakers, back catalogs, whatever. And it's all like flat shoes, casuals, really UK inspired sneakers. Kind of make me want to go back to that. Rolled up jeans, you know what I'm saying?
And that's exactly what I was going to say, because I figure with flat shoes, the good style is you roll it up. Not the tight against the leg, but just a rolled up pant with an ankle sock or something.
No, I'm definitely
especially with the warmer weather. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's cool to flip it up a bit. Like, wearing runners is dope, but I've been wearing chinos a lot, so it makes sense now.
Shout out to the chinos, I think I'm going to go into classics this summer, in this spring. I want to get some superstars. I've been wanting a pair of superstars for a while. I want to jump on that campus, that white mountaineering campus.
Oh, so good.
So nice. And the suede on it is ridiculous. And I think I'm going to – I had a little a thing today where I was wearing my Yeezys, and I think I'm going to take a break for a while because I feel like I'm wearing them too much and I'm really beating them up to the point where I don't want to beat them up too much that I have to
save them for later.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to save them for later, put them on ice for a while, clean them up, put them back in the box, and we'll see you at a later date.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means
I need another pair. That's what I told Leah. That's what I told my wife. I was like, I need another pair.
Yeah.
So, looks like it's going down in April. We'll see what happens. Yeah. We will see what happens. Chris, do you pick up anything?
Since last week? No. No, I didn't.
No?
No.
Hmm.
I've been receiving stuff in the mail for you guys, but that's about it. I live vicariously through you.
Through the crew.
You pick up, I feel good about it, but I don't spend any money, so like doubly good.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I picked up a pair of EQT support.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Brandon for hooking me up. BMenard on Instagram. Go check him out. He gave me the assist and was able to pick him up. And so Brandon handed them off to you, Alex.
Yeah.
And the first thing Alex does is text me. He's like, yo, these are going to be huge on you. And I pulled them out of the box. I'm like, wow, they are really big.
What size are they?
10. They're 10. They're not like huge on me, Like, I could go half size down, no problem. Yeah. But
you could probably go into an 8.
Close, fuck. So I put them on, but they're a big shoe in general.
Yeah, yeah, they're huge.
They're really bulky.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
I really dig that.
Yeah. Especially that older generation, like all of those new refined silhouettes.
Yeah.
They corrected the sizing a lot. So like I technically like a 10, 10.5.
Yeah.
But those OGs that you got, the OG like 2.0s, if I could say, because it's like a darker
colorway. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely a huge shoe. But again, this is corrected sizing from the first generation of AQT that came out in 2013-14.
Okay.
Like, a couple of days ago, I was wearing my OG support, posted on Instagram. This one is an 8.5.
Yeah.
And then a couple seasons after, all the AQTs were like size 9. And now that they brought up all of those like refined support, I'm back to like 10, 10.5. It's really messed up.
Yeah, because like even in my support boost, my 9316s, I'm a size 10. They fit perfect.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I got my white mountaineering AQTs in the size 10, because I figured that's it. But like you said, all, with the older model, like how it's modeled after the old one, it's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But it's comfortable.
No, oh, they're so good.
It's so nice.
Yeah. And you'll see they really like they stay strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
First thing I did is pull them out of the box and spray them down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Had to. Had to. But speaking of EQTs, this week is a big EQT week for Adidas here.
Yeah, it's like people on Instagram call it the B side. So it's basically
the B side.
Everything that came out January 21st is now coming back in like a more white execution, if we could say so, 9317 in the white colorway, the advanced EQT Prime knit as well.
That's
the
really
white
nice
zebra colorway kind of.
Yeah, thing. That's really
super cool.
Cool
for those who took the L. You know what I'm saying. also, what else we have? We have EQT Chinese New Year boost that's finally coming out.
Oh, dude, that
so
box.
Excited that box.
Now that you finally, when we walked into the store, I walked into the store the other day and I saw it in the display case and I was like, wow,
wow.
That
it's
box.
Amazing. What else is coming out? There's like a couple more refined EQTs, some really cool colors with some tonal camouflage. I really dig that. And but that's pretty much it. I think the 9317 is gonna take a lot of attention. So
yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Now I was talking to a buddy in Ottawa, and he was saying that he doesn't know if he's feeling them. He doesn't know if they're gonna sell out. I said, dude, they will sell out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They will sell out 100%. They will not sit.
No, definitely not.
It's all that boost.
Yeah, but it's so crazy.
So much boost.
So good luck to everyone who didn't get the first execution.
Yeah.
White summer essential.
Damn. I just got served a glass of whiskey, and I didn't finish my wine or my beer yet.
Oh.
It's going to be a really long night, and I'm going to have to FaceTime my kids soon. Before Drunk Clo comes out.
Yeah. Shout out to Drunk Clo.
Drunk Clo's legend.
Okay. And I don't mean to be rude, guys, and I miss you guys a lot.
Aw.
But I'm going to have to sign off, man.
Okay, before you go, though, okay, I saw something pop up on Instagram today, and right away I thought about you. It's the new New Balance J. Crew collaboration that's coming out.
Oh, God. Was it 998?
It's 997.
997.
If I'm not incorrect. And it's called the Cortado. It's like...
What a cool name.
Based on... it means coffee or like a particular type of coffee.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
I think it's got that vachetta tan tones. Like it's a light beige with some brownish and stuff. And I know you got the last J. Crew, which I totally regret not getting. It's
well, I regret not getting that butterscotch pair.
Oh yeah. This might
so
be.
So I'm guessing this is going to be close to the butterscotch, but just a lot in the tan colorways.
Yeah.
But with that texture and the quality and everything put behind it.
Yeah,
it's...
Yeah. So I look for it once you get off the phone with us, and I don't know. Formulate your plan and then maybe include me in your plans.
Size 8, if ever you run into anything. Do you have a date or anything?
8. It says to go to their blog, so we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So a size 8 for you, 9.5 for me, and a size 8 for Mike.
Yeah.
Size 8 for awesome. Mike, for sure.
That's right.
But you know what? I really regret sleeping on the butterscotch pair.
What
the
was the other one called?
The one that you jungle. Got. Yeah. The
jungle,
I think it was called
Urban jungle, right? Or
urban
concrete jungle.
Jungle. Yeah, Alex, you would love this pair because it's green. There's some green and some orange touches on it.
Nice.
But oh my gosh, this tan pair, God, if it's Vachetta-ish, I think I might lose it.
Parts
because
of it.
You know I've been hunting down those Club Monaco Sacconis, right?
Yeah.
So this might be the pair that will replace that.
This will replace that,
That Club Monaco pair.
Transfer all power to this shoe. Go for this shoe.
Go for a club.
Yeah, I think so because I think it's time to change it up. You know?
I'm going to add some New Balance for the summer. Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Anyways.
J. Right. Crew, man. They're killing it, man.
J. Crew collabos are on point.
Yeah.
I love their chinos. All right. So, Chloe, we won't keep you any longer. Yo, have fun on your couple of more days in Florida.
Thank you.
See you soon, man.
Have a blast, man. We miss you.
I'll be back on Sunday, and I'll see you guys on Wednesday.
That's for sure. Alrighty. Have a good game, okay?
All right.
Make us proud. Peace.
Later, bro.
I'll try my best.
Later, right, brother.
Peace. Later.
Man, it sounds like Chloe's having an amazing time down there.
Yeah.
And, like, with all those outlets being around, I wonder if he's going to pick something up. I know he wants to pick something up, but Air Max Day is fastly approaching. Maybe he'll pick up some Air Max.
Maybe he's hunting for that. Like, but none of the new releases that are coming, those are done. Like the hottest shoe, Alex, the Atmos just released this past weekend. And a lot of people I know caught some L's. I know a lot of other people were blessed.
Yeah,
I saw Nike Toronto doing something really cool, where they sent out a couple of pairs to some, I guess we call them influencers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know our boy Heat got a pair of Atmos in the mail.
Yo, shout out
and
to Thomas.
He really wanted those, so I'm really happy he got those. That's cool. And then, I gotta tell you guys, I saw something on Facebook, and it kind of pissed me. I didn't piss me off. It kind of annoyed me.
Okay.
For a little bit. And I'll explain why. So there was a guy. He took a picture of his new Air Maxes. And they're like the hottest shit out there, right? Like Atmos. But then he hashtags fuck the hype. But I'm like, well, I don't get it. Because that's a hype shoe. And he's like, fuck the hype. And it's like, wear what you like. And then I'm like, well, you're what you like is a hype shoe, but you're saying fuck the hype. So who? I don't understand who he's trying to reach.
Yeah.
And I get wear what you like, but I don't see how wearing what you like should have any bearing on what I do or what the other guy does with his shoes.
Yeah.
Like, we've always said on the pod here that I'm a bit of hype beast or a big hype beast. Chloe's admitted to being a hype beast too. I know
myself as well.
Yourself, you've been caught up in the hype a bit, and you're buying shoes too. And I think Mike's like holding steady. He has what he likes, and then
the hype, it consumes you a little bit.
It factors into your what should I purchase next?
100%. 100%.
And so I don't quite get people that are saying fuck the hype. And what's so bad about hype? Like,
I guess I used to say fuck the hype.
Okay.
But not in the sense that wear what you like, even though I still cop the shoe. Because then it just doesn't make sense. I used to not get it.
What? The hype?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so my first introduction to the hype, let's say, was 750s, the gray ones.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so because I was working Adidas already for years, and then all of a sudden this weird-looking gray big boot is coming out. Doesn't look like Adidas at all. We're just here, like, trashing the fact that it has no branding whatsoever.
Okay.
And then I didn't get why it was so hype.
Okay.
And then, like, stuff like that, yes, sometimes made me say, fuck the hype, because, like, I just don't get why people get so crazy about this show and this movement whatsoever.
Okay.
But then again, I am myself a hype beast now. So, like, I guess it grew onto me. And But I would say fuck the hype just because I thought, if you say fuck the hype, it's because you're closed-minded. I think you're not opening yourself to other things. It's okay to say that you are not going to buy this hype shoe for this specific hype shoe, but mm-hmm. to say fuck the hype is like, is basically saying that you refuse to say that the game is changing. Yes, it sucks. People are pissed off. They're taking L's. People don't get it. Why? Like, everyone's not scoring on blah, blah, blah. And, but again, like, this is part of the movement. Like, so at some point you could say, yes, fuck the hype. But at the same time, you could also, like, open yourself. And I'm glad I did. You can open yourself to the fact that things are changing. Things are moving forward. More people are into the sneaker thing, which actually reminds me of one thing I want to talk to you guys after. If we have time to remember that. But yeah, I think I said it in the past. I think I don't regret, because like, I've learned since then. But today, I wouldn't say fuck the hype. Never, ever.
And does your view on a hype shoe change once you have it in your hand?
Yes.
Cause like, once you could see, and then you're kind of like, okay, now I understand why it's so hype.
I understand why it's so hype, but also like, it has to like vibrate on me, you know? Like,
yeah.
It has to like.
But then this is your, so you're talking, Mike, you're asking the question and you're speaking about your own personal opinion about a shoe. But the way you're describing it is, if you, Mike, you're asking if you're looking at it and if you like it and you understand why it's hype. But what if you don't like it, but it's still considered a hype shoe?
Well, I still appreciate the fact that it's somehow,
it's got a
like,
big following.
It's gonna be a big. It's got a big following. It's like, it's not. Okay, it's not fuck the hype. It's meh, you know. It's for me. Sorry, whether I like the shoe or not, it's not meh. Fuck this hype shit. I'm just like meh.
It's not into it.
For me, it doesn't like.
Like you don't understand.
It
doesn't do it for you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so like, let's say let's pick one of the hypest release that I've had to witness, Bape and MD.
Okay.
So for me, Bape and MD was meh.
Okay.
For so many reasons. But again, I still acknowledge that it's a really, really hype. And it has a lot of like, it's big. Like it's a big shoe, man. It's a big shoe to wear.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understood the whole like heat in the street about it. And like all that happened. Like I get it. Like,
You have an understanding.
I have an understanding of it, but I'm not going to say fuck the hype. I'm just going to say, well, it's not for me.
Yeah, but you can appreciate someone else's opinion on it.
Because
they might think it's dope.
I think if you say fuck the hype, means you're wearing some like Merrells or like some Walmart shit, you know? Like, it means that you don't, you limit yourself to, technically everything's hype.
It is.
Everything is hype.
Technically,
to someone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I was talking to my staff this week about a fucking random GR AQT that I was wearing, and when I got to the store and I was wearing it, everyone was like, "Oh, so cool color! It's like gray and white, whatever." And they were like, "Oh, what collab is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's not a collab. It's just like a GR. We had it. It sat here. It's like at Mirabel at the outlets now."
Yeah.
And sometimes what's hype for me doesn't mean it's hype for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I captioned it like my own type of fire, something like that.
Okay.
And it's like, for me, if you say fuck the hype, it means you're limiting yourself to whatever's dropping, because you don't know, like, the Spezial stuff that's coming out is fire and it's hype, but it's not hype like Yeezys or Ultras are. Because it's a different type of hype.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. I'm going nowhere with this, but.
No, I get, like.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that it annoyed me and it pissed me off when I read that. But for a brief moment, because I kind of came to a conclusion similar to what you were thinking, oh, this person's closed-minded. But my thinking wasn't that this person's closed-minded. My thinking was this person's mind was never opened.
Yeah.
Ah. I mean, they need to.
So that's probably someone that got the Atmos first drop. And then he's trying to double up because he's like, oh, I really like this pair. It's coming out again. Let me double up. And
or
then
he's
can't.
Huge,
And then he can't. and he gets him pissed off because he's like,
no, but he go, yes, I see know, what
like,
you're saying.
Hypothetically, let's just assume that it's not even this guy, it's just another guy.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of people that could say, fuck the hype. What the fuck is this? You know, because like,
well, fuck the hype that's barring me from getting the shoe that I really
right,
want.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Type so of deal. In, yeah. Okay. Like, let's forget about this guy. Let's, in the fake situation, that would make sense.
Yeah. Well, my annoyance jumped from the guy that was saying, fuck the hype. And then I let him be because I'm like, well, I hope that one day he does let himself experience other sneakers and find something else that he likes, because then all your options are open, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can wear anything you want.
Yeah.
And my annoyance jumped from him to then remembering that I know a couple of people that consider themselves purists.
Yeah.
And if they're not, and they'll trash, give a little bit of a poke at anything that's new, that's not down. Or like all the new cats that are only in for the hype, they won't like it, and they'll feel some type of way about new people coming in, new shoes being retroed, and then kind of diluting the pool. And then there's accusations of, you know, you're not pure. You're not a pure, let's say, Boost head. You're not a pure Stripes guy. You're not a pure Air Max head. And I was like, I don't understand why you need to make such an opinion about another person.
No.
And I apologize if this sounds like I'm preaching to anyone. And I may be wrong. I may be totally off. Okay. And if I am, then comment on one of our pictures that I'm an asshole. I can take it. It's not a big deal. But this is how I'm wondering why people have to put people in other categories. I'm not saying everyone does this. I'm saying maybe I've seen it happen. And that's why I'm like, well, that's not fair. Yeah. I mean, why do you have to put someone in another in a particular category?
Yeah.
You know, why do you give yourself a label, and why do you give this other guy a label, and why is there a bar or standard that another man has to live up to?
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering what makes you a better sneakerhead if you're downplaying someone else's like groove, you know? I don't know if...
Okay, what I was going to say is, I've noticed that, so I have this b-boy hip-hop background, right?
Mm-hmm.
In breaking, you can know so many things, okay? You can learn, you can take some workshops, you can watch some documentaries, check some videos, you can talk to older, like, OGs and stuff like that. You can learn, right? But there's something in b-boying that's like, in breaking, that's like not given. And it's like abilities, skills, technique,
okay,
motion, form, strength, stuff like that. Okay. So you could be the most knowledgeable person, but the second you enter the circle and you dance, if you're whack, you're whack.
Mm.
Like, okay, you're fucking whack, you know?
All right.
So I've been dancing for like 12 years now. So I know a little bit more than 12 years of dancing plus the back history. And my move speak for themselves, you know? In the sneaker game, I find that like the blogs, the social medias, the YouTube channels, like all of that's facing the rest of the world for you to learn about sneakers makes people think that they are like really strong.
Like they know everything.
Like they know, like I don't want to say like they know everything, but like they know
so
everything.
So the people that are paying attention to all the social media input, like all the feeds and everything, they gain all this knowledge very quickly.
Very, 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 very fast. And then they feel like they're
empowered.
They're super knowledgeable, right?
Yeah. Okay, okay.
So, and then I look at myself and I'm like, I was maybe once whack, but I learned and I went through phases, changed my style, Went from like wearing one type of shoe to another one. Went from being closed-minded on this, then opening my mind on that. My flow has changed. The way I dress has changed. And then I'm more and more knowledgeable about my sneaker stuff. And like, you know what? I don't know if you're getting where I'm getting to.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's not enough. I feel like people are in a rush because everything's so accessible.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone's in a rush to cup the hot shit. Everyone's in a rush to like be knowledgeable. Everyone's in a rush to get an opinion. Everyone's in a rush to get
noticed.
A big noticed, a big collection, the heat, only the heat. And then I'm like, where are you from? Where how long how long you've been in the game?
How did you build yourself?
What's your story? How did you build yourself? Yeah. What's behind you? Because like sometimes I talk to some people that are really like freshly into sneakers. Not saying that they don't have the right to speak like this, but I'm just like, yo, you're such a fresh brain. Like, open yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Take it in. Open your mind.
Like, don't limit yourself.
Don't limit yourself. Don't judge. Like, open your mind. Fuck. Like,
yeah. I think in a flip way, oh, I love the hype and everything, but in a flip way, the hype may be cause for that.
So let's say
you're a new guy coming into the new guy girl, you guys know what I'm saying, coming into the game, and you're like, okay, this blog is just blasting about this shoe. Everyone's talking about this in the Facebook groups and everything.
Therefore, this one's hot.
Therefore, if I somehow get my hands on it, I'm kind of fast tracking my way through the sneaker game, and I'm gaining levels, right? And
yeah, because it's not. I think the I don't know if you guys understood the image that I was trying to bring with the b-boying thing.
Yeah,
of course it's not the same. You don't have to fucking train your body. You don't have to be creative. Blah blah, like that. In a certain way, yes, if you're handling social medias, but I feel like it's going too fast and people are trying to get.
So,
yeah.
How about, let's do this. You tell me what your motto is when dealing with the game, the hype, the release, how you handle yourself in the sneaker culture and everything. What do you go by? Like, what kind of unwritten rules do you have for yourself when dealing with something? Like, how do you get through?
Whew, that's interesting.
Mike, if you like, how do you too, like you're kind of, you're also trying to find your spot in the game. Like, what rules do you try to
set
follow?
For myself?
Yeah.
I want, for myself, I want to learn. I want to take the time. I don't want to jump in and go boom, 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 boom. I feel like I'm here. I would like to take the time to learn. Take it slow because I've known this from playing guitar and stuff. Nothing happens overnight.
No.
Nothing. And it does take time.
But do you feel, do you feel any pressure from the hype?
A little bit, but I don't let it get to me as much as I sometimes think I do. Like, yeah, you can get a pair of Yeezys, but I would love a pair of Superstars. I don't need something hype to be happy. No. You know?
No. And I feel like you've let go some opportunities in the past because you're just like, it's cool.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah. I know down the road if I would like that, maybe I'll pick it up. But you don't need everything overnight.
No. Right away. Okay. And it doesn't mean like if some of you guys are listening and thinking, well, why would you fucking like rain on my day if I just want to have a pair of like, I don't know, Gif UBs, whatever.
Oh, no.
Hey, if you cut, go for it, man.
Again, Chris sitting right here next to Alex loves hype shit.
Yeah,
I'm with you if you want to buy the next.
Oh, yeah,
if you want this 9317, go for it.
If you're here, you get it. Go for it, man. Yeah. Like, I'm so happy for you. But it's, I don't know. I think it's just cool to reflect for me, for maybe you, Chris, because we've been in the SoSet game for couple years, so like you know what kind of phases you've been through, and for me it just like just happens to really everything fits my hip-hop / Adidas career, like, and it's cool to see that the
the smarter I become as an individual, the smarter I am about my sneaker thing.
Okay, so gotcha.
I'm not saying that I'm really smart, but I'm just saying like
I
feel like I've changed a lot as an individual, big time.
In sneakers too. Like I feel like you've changed, but you have very defined lines.
Yeah.
Like about what you do like. Like you know what you like. And sometimes the hype will get you, but it's always nods back to what you do like.
Yeah.
And sometimes the hype really doesn't appeal to you at all.
No.
Like you're really not for me. And totally not for me.
You know what's crazy? I don't think I make any purchases that don't make sense to, like, I'm sure you look at all the purchases that I do and you're like, yes, makes sense.
Yeah, that's an Alex shoe.
Yeah, that's Alex. Yeah,
they're
you know, like, no one is ever doubting any of my stuff. Like, sometimes I bet my staff, because my staff has heard me, like, go from, like, OG Alex, whatever, to, like, super open mind.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I got a Yeezys, everyone was like, whoa, you've been saying something.
Sell out.
I was like, yep, you know what? And I'm fine. Like, I'm super happy about it.
Well, the thing is, I look at you and I can tell what type of shoe you would like, whether...
And for which reasons, I'm
super
sure.
Super hot, hype, or super OG. Well, maybe not the OG as well, but I can tell which shoe you'd like. Mike, I actually have no idea.
No.
Like, whenever you come up with a purchase, I'm like, oh, okay. But it's like I'm profiling you.
Yeah.
He likes this shoe. He likes this shoe, and then an image is starting to build about.
No, but it's cool because like you have like a wide range of appreciation.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you can literally like go on and try and maybe love anything and just like open your mind to trying new things.
I don't want to limit myself.
No, totally. And it's a really smart decision, especially since you're still nearing the sweet spot. So
and I can tell what type of shoes Chloe would be totally in for. Like he has a particular style and. Hype shit, regular shit, all goes. So that's great. I want to tell you guys what, like I've mentioned that I was annoyed with this guy, then I was annoyed with that guy. But in the end, I'm like, I don't want to think about that. I don't want annoyance to be part of how I look at sneakers. One, because I don't have time to waste. Two is I just follow my happiness.
Yeah.
Yo, if this shoe makes me happy, then I'm good. Like whether it be because I love the colors, whether it be because I used to own a pair when I was younger, or whether because the hypeness of the shoe makes me feel good, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it makes me happy, then I'm good.
That's it.
Like, I don't... Yeah. I'll ask for people's opinions, and that might sway me sometimes, but then that's why I'm asking for an opinion, you know? Like, I need a bit of help to make up my mind. But aside from that, whatever makes me happy is my mantra. Like, as long as this shoe makes me happy, then I'm okay. Whether I'm not within a category of... a pure head, or whether I like the new shit because it's new. Well, yeah, that's everyone loves new shiny things, you know.
Yeah.
So
hopefully we cleared things up.
Yeah. If you don't agree, let us know.
Yeah.
Let's start the conversation. I mean, we can maybe it opens some opens ourselves to something we haven't thought about either. But I know.
Wear what you want. Buy what you want.
Yeah. It's or you know what? Don't listen to Mike. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. Again, if you don't agree, let us know. We want to talk to you guys and give us more of an image of ourselves. And I think, so as we did a couple of episodes ago, Mike gave us part one of his story.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is ready for part two. So
the floor.
Take it away.
Here's the floor. All right. So in part one of my story, we left off with a police officer came to my house and everything changed. So before, in part one, I was talking about how my family, we were on our way up, you know. I like to think we were on our way up, you know. The houses were getting bigger. Everything was getting, it was great. I started to think I was living the dream. So I was getting, my dad was buying snowmobiles. My dad was buying new cars and trucks and all that stuff. So when the police officer came to the house, he said, "Are your parents here?" I said, "No, I'm only 16 years old." I said, "No." He's like, "Okay, I need you to give this to them." He handed me a piece of paper. Not in an envelope, nothing. I open up the piece of paper, and it says, "Notice of eviction." So, this was heavy for me. Because when you're 16 years old and you read that, you understand what it means. But you can't comprehend how things are going to change and how they're going to change so fast. So I got on the phone with my parents right away, and I kind of had a little freak out. And, of course, they were freaked out, too, because they weren't expecting this. But, obviously, things were not getting paid. House was not getting paid for. I didn't notice, but everything kind of started to go away a week before this happened. The cars started to disappear. The snowmobiles started to go away. The trucks started to go away. My dirt bike was gone. And I didn't understand why. My parents wouldn't tell me. So that's what happened. Notice of eviction. So my parents, I left this part out of the story in part one, but my parents split up about 3 months before this. So my parents were getting divorced. You know, this isn't the first time they've been apart from each other. We knew it was coming. Me, my brother, and my sister. So what happened was, my dad was away. He moved to Montreal. And basically it was up to myself to make sure that everything was going to be okay. So what I did was, we had a week to get out. A week to get out of a house that's 6 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, double car garage, the whole 9 yards. To get all of that stuff out in a week is not the easiest thing, especially when you don't have your father around to help. So what I did was I went to my friend's parents, who owned a truck and a trailer, like a 53-foot trailer, and I asked if he could come up to the house and we could move everything into the trailer, because we had no other choice. We didn't have time to book a moving crew or anything, and he did it that day. He had a 53-foot trailer in my driveway, and we started to pack up the house. My mother's friends were coming over and helping us do as much as we could. The neighbors, my friend's parents were all coming over and helping out. But we put the whole house into a trailer in about 4 days. So what was next? We didn't know where we were going. I had no idea where I was going. My mom kind of moved in with her friend at the time, just so that my brother and sister had a place to stay. So when that happened, I couldn't stand my mom's friend, so I refused to move in. I moved in with a buddy of mine. His mom was lucky enough. She was a single mom, too. Lucky enough to have me, and I was lucky enough to have a place to stay. So after a while, I lived in the country. You know, there wasn't a lot of people around, not a lot of opportunity in my mind. So I said, you know, my father's still my father no matter what. He's always going to be my dad. I got to forgive him in some way. And to this day, I still don't. But I thought to myself, there's no opportunity for me here. I need to move and move now. So what I did was I moved to Montreal. I was 17 years old. It was my birthday when that whole thing went down. So I was 16 going on 17. I was 17 years old. I decided to move to Montreal. My mother was not happy about this. She didn't let me take my bed. She didn't let me take my dresser. She didn't let me take anything. I took my guitar that I got for my 16th birthday that meant everything to me. I had my record collection, and I had a TV that I bought at like some flea market or whatever, just to, you know, have something to watch when I'm down there. So when I moved down there, my dad had me in a spot that was pretty cool. It was in Dorval for anyone that's in the Montreal area, just behind like that Dorval Mall near the airport. And it was good. But for the first 6 months, I didn't have a bed to sleep on. I slept on the floor for a good 6 months. After that, I didn't have a job because I didn't speak French. It was really hard for me to get a job. I started working for the company my dad was working for, just doing like some warehouse stuff, you know, and I just did what I had to do. I bought myself an air mattress. It was great, you know, going from the floor to an air mattress is a big change. But after a while, I really wanted to build myself up. I was still playing guitar every day, and music was a really big influence for me because it helped me get through a lot of the tough times in my life where I could just sit down and play. Shout out to the alarm. But learning how to play guitar kind of taught me a lot. It taught me how to take my time. It taught me that nothing happens overnight. And I said that in the podcast earlier, but I started working. I finally got myself a mattress. But after a while, it kind of, things started to go worse. We moved from this nice place in Dorval to like this kind of shady place in LaSalle. A few months later, we moved to a really shady spot in LaSalle that was like the projects. I had bed bugs. I went through all that. And at this time, I really wanted to... I started kind of a guitar company with... Because I built guitars in high school. And I started a guitar company that, you know, guitar was my passion. So I was importing from China with the money that I did have. You know, I would bring them in. I would soup them up myself because it's something I was really passionate about. You know, doing work on guitars and learning electronics, learning all that stuff, woodworking. So I did that for a while, but it brought me to this band. And this band was called Grace Over Diamonds, and they were from Ottawa. We sponsored them. We gave them a guitar each, and one day their guitar player left the band, and they offered me a spot. This was a game changer for me. I was really happy. I was pumped. This is something I was looking forward to because I was trying to put a band together here in Montreal, and it was like the hardest thing ever. No one's serious. Nobody wants to do the work. But I worked my ass off to do it, and I finally got in the band. It was amazing. But things weren't working out with my dad, and it got to the point where I was working for my singer at the time, who had an asphalt company out in Ottawa. And we lost our place here in Montreal. I was sleeping on a couch for a while at my drummer's house, but it got to the point where I was sleeping at the office of the asphalt company because I had nowhere else to go. For the first time in my life, I felt helpless. For the first time in my life, I felt homeless. I feel like I have nowhere else to go. Until a buddy of mine from Montreal said, "Hey, I know you're a guitar player, but I think that you should join this band, and I think that you should learn how to play bass," that I had no idea. And he's like, "We're going on a 6-month contract to Dubai." And I said, "I'm fucking in. 100%. I am in. Let's do this. Something needs to fucking change." This was huge. I had no idea what I was doing with a bass, but I met a lot of people from being in the band. You know, we toured around a little bit, but nothing that would like pay us anything because the music industry these days is just garbage. You know, you have to pay to play places. It's crazy. So I went, I stayed in Dubai for about 3 months, playing every night except for Friday nights because that was like their Saturday or something. No, it was Thursday. But I was playing 6 days a week. You know, we'd play 4 45-minute sets. We'd be up until 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, just drinking and partying. And it got to the point where I just like, I can't drink anymore. I can't do all that stuff. But it was one person during this whole time that, you know, pushed me to do what I wanted to do. And when I was recording a record in Montreal with my buddy Simon, who I went to Dubai with, we were recording a rock album in Celine Dion's studio out in the East End. And I met this girl who walked in with Simon. She was just a good friend of his and walked in. And that woman is now my wife. Leah, I like to think that my wife changed my life, helped me in a way, and pushed me in a way that some people would never understand. I like to think that she's always there for me, and she is always there for me. But if it wasn't for her, I don't know what would happen. She was there when I was living in an asphalt office. She was there when I said, hey, I need to go to Dubai for 6 months. But we spoke every day, FaceTime, Skype. You know, when she'd be going to bed, I'd be getting up in the morning or the afternoon. And when I'd be going to bed, she'd be getting up in the morning. So it kind of worked out. We talked every day, but she was always there for me. And I can't thank her enough for that. But I got home after 3 months in Dubai, and the story takes another turn. So maybe we could save that for another day.
Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's save that for another day. Chris, would you like to have a little story time, my friend? Bring the mood up, maybe?
Okay, sure. My part one, I think you guys remember, it was actually for those who want to backtrack to Mike's part one, it was in episode
six.
So just go to episode six if you want to, missed out on that, and you can get his part one, you can get his part two
now. Go check it out, yeah.
And my part one just happened last episode, and lucky for me, I get to go right away. So thanks, guys.
Week to week.
Yeah. So for those who didn't catch last week's episode, in 2014, that's when my story started. I pretty much suffered the worst shame on a basketball court imaginable for myself, where I played extremely poorly on the NBA court of the exhibition game in Montreal. And that was an event held by Foot Locker and the NBA Canada. And so part two of the story, we go forward into 2015, where, again in October, they had the NBA exhibition game in Montreal again. And Foot Locker was organizing it with NBA Canada. And a gentleman that was at the game the year before texted me and goes, yo, I just got the invitation. Did you get yours? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't get an invitation. And I'm like, okay, I'll possibly get it soon. But I got a bit worried. I go, did I play so poorly that they were like, we can't have this guy on the court anymore? Or did I not do enough work for my blog to warrant a space at this event? And I was like, okay, what's going on? Let me hit up Sid and find out what's going on. Because he was at the 2014 game. I hit up Sid, and Sid's like, yeah, I got an invitation. I go, okay. I didn't get mine. And so I was getting a bit worried, again, in my own head. And I'm like, oh, shit, I must have done something really bad. I asked Sid to inquire with the person that sent him the email about, like, hey, are invitations still going out? Do you guys happen to have Christopher Chu on the invitation list? And Sid was gracious enough, a good buddy, and he did it. He kind of poked around, and I think my other friend Albert also poked around a bit. And it came about that, yeah, we already invited the Bragg Affair, Sid. So I was like, what? Sid did do some writing for us for the Bragg Affair, but technically it's kind of like my blog. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to freak out, but I'm kind of freaking out. I go, okay. And I'm like, yo, can you kind of mention to them that Chris Chu's the Bragg Affair? And as it was going, I was going crazy. I absolutely felt that 2015 would be my redemption for 2014 game. And I was like, I was constantly messaging Sid. I was messaging
Cherry, because she worked at Foot Locker. I go, hey, can you find out about if, you know, my name pops up anywhere and whatever, whatever. And at least a good 2 days of worrying whether I would get into the game or not and whether I would be able to kind of get a second chance at playing on the court again. And I was so worried about getting a spot that I eventually went full circle and told myself, you know what? I don't need the game. I'm okay. I don't need the game. And then in moments of silence, I would start thinking, but the Bragg Affair is mine. My name should be invited, not someone else. Nothing against Sid, but it should be me. And then I would get nervous again, and I would get worried again. I would be like, and then I would start messaging people again. I was like, please, 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 can you find out? Eventually, people were contacted. I think I might have annoyed, or my name became a bit annoying to one of the people at Foot Locker, and they eventually said, fine, let's get this guy in. And I finally got an invitation, and I was so thankful. I was like, oh, thank you for inviting me. I was like, I wanted to tell them that I would do better, but that's not the type of email you send to like a Foot Locker employee, you know, like a Foot Locker bigwig. So I was like, okay, just let me prep myself for this weekend and hopefully I'll do well and everything will be fine. Happening, so that was a Friday on the docket for that weekend. Friday, NBA event during the day. At night, NBA game. Saturday, it was the first Soul Exchange Canada to come to Montreal. So I had that on Saturday. And also coming into town were all these people. The Canada Got Soul guys from Toronto were coming into town. So I had planned that Saturday night, we'd all go out and we'd go to like Sneak Beats in Life, you know, like party at a sneaker event and stuff like that. So my weekend was full on top of me actually working at my regular work. So that was my weekend. I'm prepping. I'm getting ready. I'm figuring out what I'm going to wear, how I'm going to logistically go to work, go home, go to events, have all the clothes that I need for different scenarios without having to head back home, notify the wife, hey, you might not see me for a couple of days. I'll be doing all this stuff. And then, boom, Friday comes along. It's time for the game. I'm super worried. I like want to stay limber. I want to stay ready. I want to stay light. I hardly eat that morning. You know, I drop off the kids, daycare, school. I get ready. I go to the game. I know the deal. You know, I know I've been here last year, guys. Don't worry about it. I get into the arena. I know where to check in, what security passes I need. I get into the game. I see my chair. I get changed. I'm focused, getting ready to get on the court. And boom, we start playing. And I play well. I'm hitting my shots. I'm getting my layups. I'm making the right passes. I'm intense. Intense to the point where the ref that they had, they said, no full court press. I was the only guy doing the full court press. He's like, but everyone's doing half court defense because we don't want to let everyone play. I'm like, okay, fine. I play well enough that a Foot Locker manager goes, hey, you can actually play. I go, yeah, thanks, man. But I feel I'm dead tired because, like, I left it all on the court. I was like, I'm just going to lie down here for a bit. But I was joking. At the game also was Morris Peterson, ex-Raptor, old Michigan State player. I was talking to him. I was like, Bragg Affair opportunity. I got to show these people that I can do something. I go up to him, start talking about sneakers, and I ask him if he wants maybe one day talk about sneakers. And he goes, yeah, do you have a card? I go, yeah, no problem. I run back to the locker room to get my card. And as I'm running back, something hits me in the chest. And there's this pain. It's searing pain, as if a fist just grabbed a hold of my heart and squeezed fucking tight. And I was like, ugh, I probably need some Gatorade or something. I just kept walking to Morris Peterson, and then I heard this high-pitched you know, this high-pitched sound like that, but I know I'm the only one that can hear it. I'm talking to Morris Peterson. I'm giving him the details, trying not to wince in front of him because there's this pain going on. And we finally said, okay, shake hands, and I'm on my way. I get changed, and people are talking to me. I kind of hear them through like a tunnel, and I keep going through my motions. I'm like, I just need to get outside. I really need to get outside. I just need some air. I say goodbye to everyone. I head outside. I get the cold air because it's like October. I'm like, okay, just breathe slow, focus. And part of me is wondering what the fuck's going on with me. And part of me is thinking, I just need to drink water and I'll be fine. And then the only thought in my head was like, go get the kids and go home. Go get the kids. And once you're home, everything will be okay. I get the kids. People stop me on my way and they're asking me what's wrong with me. And I'm like, I just need to get home. I finally pick up the kids. I get home. I lie down and I wait for my wife to get home. I tell her I don't feel so hot, but we got that NBA game tonight to go to. So just give me 10 minutes to take a nap and I'll be fine. We went to the NBA game that night. I was in pain. I woke up the next morning. I went to work. I was in pain. I went to the sneaker event. I was winded. I needed to sit down a lot. I had kind of like, I told the Canada Got Soul guys, sorry guys, I can't come out tonight. I'm just not feeling it. The next day, I just sat with them a bit during their lunch, and I went back to work because I still wasn't feeling it. And that was it for that weekend. Turns out that I had a heart attack. And I didn't know it was a heart attack, or you don't tell yourself that it's a heart attack because you don't want to believe that it's a heart attack. And I eventually went on with my life, like as if nothing happened, for a good 6 months. 6 months before I went to see doctors and everything, but they thought exactly what I thought, or what I made people to believe, that it was just anxiety, because so much was happening that weekend. I put so much into that weekend that I really wanted everything to work out fine. And I just pushed myself too far, I think. But I didn't want to accept that at my age I had a heart attack. But it was finally 6 months later that I went to the hospital one day to do like a regular stress test where you run on the treadmill. And they said, you know, forget the stress test. We're just going to do like a sonogram of your heart, your chest. And they go, yeah, you had something happen to your heart. We don't know when. And I go, October. I know, but I didn't want to know. And that was on a Friday. And they said, well, you're not leaving here. You can't leave. You need a heart procedure. It's going to happen Monday. But you can't leave. Because now that they know something happened, they can't let me risk have something happen. So I stayed in the hospital. But when they told me that I had a heart attack, or like when they confirmed to me that something had happened to my heart, my first thought was not that I can't believe it's a heart attack. My first thought was, I just want to go home. I didn't want to be in the hospital. Like, let me go home and I'll come back on Monday. I promise, is what I was saying in my head. But of course, they are smarter. They said, no, you need to stay. And I lived in a hospital for a weekend, not leaving that one floor because I had like a monitor on my chest. They just needed to know if anything was going wrong. And the Sunday night, right before the procedure on Monday morning, I said goodnight to my wife. And it was a moment of, you know, when you're a kid and you're at a camp or you're on vacation and you're there with your friends, you're having the time of your life, and you know that you're gonna have to go home soon. That's the feeling I had. I didn't want it to end. So I think that's it, guys, for now. I'm sitting here, but I mean, everything turned out all right. Or actually, you know what? What this has taught me is that you don't be afraid. If you want something, you go for it. If you think something's hard, but you think you can do it, you do it. I stop being afraid of things. I stop wasting time not doing. I stop fearing rejection or fearing blockades. On the one hand, throughout this whole story, I can say that, hey, it took, like, even a heart attack can stop me. Like, I kept going. On the other hand, I can say I was the stupidest human being on the planet by not listening to my body and taking the right path and not being afraid to face something that was happening to myself. So you have to look at what you're afraid of, look at what might stop you, and just figure, it doesn't matter. Like, what you need and what you want are more important. So what my body needed, what I needed to, the course that I needed to go on to fix myself had to happen. And I hope, I don't know what I'm saying, but just handle life, guys. Like, it's there. We live it.
Live it. Take it. Make it your bitch.
Ugh. That was kind of heavy.
That was heavy, but you know what? Does it feel good?
It's cool.
I felt like it was something that sometimes I don't like talking about because things happen in my life after that change for the better. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't want to attribute it to something that was kind of bad to make me go better. Like, nothing drastic. Like, nothing incredible happened. I didn't gain superpowers or anything, but
you already had superpowers.
My view of things is changed. Because I compare everything to, oh, but, you know, life might end the next day. Mm. It's more, I probably went through a big moment in my life, and I'm here, I'm supposed to be here, so I don't question any badness that comes into my life. Yeah. It's supposed to happen to me, mm-hmm. and I'm fine with it. Like, I find happiness, and I do take more time to enjoy moments.
Yeah.
And that's like, that shouldn't be only because something big happened to you. Yeah. Just fucking do it, guys. Like,
that's just a life sentence. Yeah, you know?
Find your happiness.
Live in it.
Don't find your, if you're happy being miserable, fucking be miserable. Yeah. You know, I got nothing but love for anyone.
Yeah.
I use the word love a lot more. I do notice that, but it's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Anyways, that was tough.
That was tough. Yeah. It was, well, hopefully you guys learned a bit more about us. You know, we're going to have Alex and Chloe do their part 2 as soon as possible. We're going to get that wrapped up. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. But before we wrap things up, should we do it? Should we tell the people?
Yeah, let's
what they've been waiting for.
We made them suffer through this downer of a story.
Yeah, sorry guys, but
you had to know. Chris is looking for the picture, the post, figuring it out. I just want to give a big shout out to Bri Agujo. I don't know if I'm messing up. Brian Agujo. He's listening from the from Dubai.
Oh, shout out to Dubai.
Was that it? Yeah. I'm from Dubai, but I work... No, he's from the Philippines, but he works
in Dubai.
So it's really cool. He left us a really cool comment on one of our pictures.
It very
really,
cool.
Broke my heart.
Yeah?
But no, I was like, yo, that's like some really cool stuff.
When I'm looking at the analytics of the podcast and I see where people are listening from, it
crazy,
blows
man.
My mind.
It's crazy, crazy.
That people could listen from
so
that far
away.
So
respect to you, Brian. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
It is time. It's time to announce the winner of the Converse Modern Luxe All Black size 9. We are about to pick a winner. So what we did was we flipped a coin. Heads would be Sneaker Talk. Tails would be the Sneaker Podcast. We flipped the coin and it landed on the Sneaker Podcast. So we're going to go to our Instagram. We went to our picture of the Converse Modern Luxe. We picked a comment by random. Alex loaded all the comments and I said stop without looking. And we decided that...
_ Jamie Murray _ is our
big winner.
Congratulations,
Jamie. We're going to reach into your DMs. We're going to get your information, some shipping information, and you have won yourself a pair of Converse Modern Luxe All Black in a size 9.
Congratulations.
Yep. I think a lot of people
to yourself.
Were,
thanks for supporting. Thanks for everyone that participated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like
we had a big turnout.
500 entries?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over 500.
Shout out to Christian.
Yes.
Shout out to Sneaker Talk CA. I'm sure that everyone's checking out his YouTube already. Like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, you must subscribe. His content's amazing.
Yep. Thank you to Converse Canada for setting up that pair of Converse Modern Luxe in black. It is sexy. I'm sure Jamie Murray will enjoy them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah. So if anyone likes what we're doing here and wants more giveaways, then let us know.
Let us know. We're here for the people. People.
More stuff for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe we could hook you up with something. So that's wrapped up this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, where can people find you on social media, Chris?
Christopher.chu, C-H-R-U.
And Alex, where can people find you?
At Suji Cypher Sons.
You can find our boy Chloe at Chlorel, and you can find myself at On Air with Mike D. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you back here next week on the Sneaker Podcast. Until then, have a great day. Have a great night. Keep them laced. Later.
Peace.
Peace.